Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. The gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, glad to be with you. It's the Dean's List. Welcome in. Christy Dean's with me today. Yep. Once again, thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, good. Let's hit the ground running.
All right.
Southern Baptist. Now, this is a headline, Christian news headlines. Southern Baptist to open their ranks to missionaries who speak in tongues.
Ew.
You know what? To some people, they're like, what? Is that a big deal? Well, it's a big deal for Southern Baptist for a number of reasons. We're going to talk about it. And you know what? I'm not necessarily going to talk about whether or not, you know, tongues, the whole gift of speaking in tongues is extant today,
right,
operative today. I guess in full disclosure, I have to say I don't believe the New Testament gift is operative today. But at the same time, there are evangelical theologians who do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Baptists who do. And we all have our arguments, our theological arguments, our historical arguments, and our exegetical arguments. I think I can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 14 and build my case, make my case. But that's not what I'm about to do today or out to do today. But I do want to talk about it because, and again, some people might be saying, okay, well, who cares what the Southern Baptists are doing? In one sense, I don't mean this in an ugly way. I agree. Who cares what the Southern Baptists are doing? But what they're doing here, the issue is why they're doing it, or at least according to this particular piece. And several quotes, you know, and listen, I know it's true. You know how I know it's true?
Because you're a Southern Baptist.
Because I'm a Southern Baptist. I disagree with the contemporary stance of the Southern Baptist Convention in a lot of areas. I'm not going to get into that. So I just want people to know I'm not walking in lockstep just because our church happens to be loosely connected to the Southern Baptist Convention. But, I do want to say that. But I know Southern Baptist, maybe I better not quote the man's name, but I remember a number of years ago when I was doing doctoral work in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
A very prominent Southern Baptist leader said, the heart and soul, and he meant this in a good way, the heart and soul of the Southern Baptist is pragmatism. What is pragmatism? Why do you grimace when you hear that statement?
Isn't pragmatism kind of doing anything and everything possible to get more people in the church?
Yeah, but we want to do things to get more people in the church or see more people saved, but
like,
finish the thought.
Maybe using not so biblical means to get to the end of having more people in the church. And so just saying, well, the end justifies the means.
Yes, that's pragmatism. Doing anything and everything, regardless of whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
The ends justify the means, we would say. We wouldn't say that. The
right.
Pragmatists would say that. You and I try not to be pragmatists. Now, and the reason I say it that way, you never make this, you know, blanket dogmatic statement, I am not a pragmatist. Well, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
So I'm pragmatic sometimes without realizing it. But I don't want to be a pragmatist. I want to be a principled, biblical Christian. Okay. Tongues. The Southern Baptists basically, historically, believe that the New Testament gift of tongues ceased Round about somewhere in the middle of the first century, close of the first century at least. And so they don't believe it's operative today, at least in terms of their theological stance. And I would say that most Southern Baptists would say tongues have ceased. Now, a lot of Southern Baptists believe that tongues are operative, and that's because of the influence of other theological streams, you know, Pentecostalism, for example, charismatic churches, for example. We could go on. So there's a mixed bag, but I'm just saying, majority speaking and historically and their theological stance. That's why this is a big deal for them. But again, we're not just talking about Southern Baptists. We're talking about implications for Christians of any denomination. So let's get to that. Let me read a couple of quotes from this piece. After decade-long resistance, the Southern Baptist Convention will admit missionary candidates who speak in tongues. And I love the way they say this, a practice associated with Pentecostal and charismatic churches. True, but it crosses a lot of lines now. Anyway, the new policy approved by the denomination's International Mission Board reverses a policy that was put in place 10 years ago, which reflected the historical position. They misdefined the New Testament gift of tongues here, by the way, in the article, so I'm not even going to get into that. That'd take 30 minutes. Hey, if we're going to talk about tongues, let's give a biblical definition, right? But anyway, no problem. We'll move on. But allowing Southern Baptist missionaries to speak in tongues or have what some SBC leaders call a private prayer language, by the way, I would say that
that's
a private prayer
story.
Language is not the New Testament gift of tongues. But anyway, listen to this, though. Allowing Southern Baptist missionaries to do that, speak in tongues or have a private prayer language, speaks to the growing strength of Pentecostal churches in Africa, Asia, and South America. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go.
Where Southern Baptists are competing for converts. Do you have a problem with that line?
Yeah, so they're making conversion a competition?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
We want to reach people for Christ. But, you know, I mean, think of this. Think of this. Are you kidding me? This is, I don't watch Jay Leno. I just don't. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You know, there might be some funny stuff there, and but then the raunchy joke comes out. So I just don't watch him. I don't watch any of the late night stuff. But Jay Leno used to say, "What's my beef?" You don't remember that?
No.
You're so young.
I don't watch Jay Leno.
Oh, praise God. Anyway, and by the way, I'm not judging those who do. I'm just saying, you got it. All the caveats we have to put in there. The point I'm making is, what's my beef with this? Yeah. I mean, here's what's driving this. We're going to allow the missionaries to speak in tongues because Southern Baptists are competing for converts in Africa, Africa, South America, Asia, and where energized new Christians are enthusiastically embracing the practice. Now, did you catch that? Here's the implication there. You got these energized new Christians. They've embraced the practice. Well, let's get them to come to our church.
It's just like sheep stealing.
Yeah. See, it's not that they've gone out and reached these people. They're already saved. They're energized. But we want them in our fold. So we're going to say, oh, yeah, we can speak in tongues now. Come on over here. It's marketing. Right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with, you know, if you own Apple Computer, market it. Beat the competition. But the church is not the same thing. Listen to this. In so many parts of the world, these charismatic experiences are normative, said Bill Leonard, professor of church history at Wake Forest Divinity School. Religious groups that oppose them get left behind evangelistically. Now, he's saying, and I don't know what he's saying. I don't want to read into what he's saying. When he says that these experiences are normative, he means that people are practicing them. Now, whether or not he thinks it's from the Holy Spirit, I don't know.
Right.
But regardless, listen to the statement, religious groups that disagree or that oppose get left behind evangelistically. So the implication there is, if you don't embrace this practice, you're not going to gain a hearing in these parts of the world, and you're not going to be able to do evangelism. Well, I beg to differ with that.
So now we're going to compromise on our beliefs just to get more, I mean, converts that are at least already being reached in some way.
Right.
We're going to change our beliefs and compromise just
right,
to do that.
Right. See, Pentecostalism is sweeping sub-Saharan Africa. I'll tell you what else is sweeping sub-Saharan Africa. The health, wealth gospel.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you come to Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, there are a lot of Southern Baptist leaders who are willing to say that's heresy, and they should. But when I read this, okay, if you have a group of people who basically say, well, we believe in these tongues, or we believe this health, wealth message, and we're saying, well, in order to reach them evangelistically, we're going to kind of have to embrace some of that. See, that's a problem, because what the gospel does and what we do as ministers, or what we do as just Christians, all Christians are ministers, everybody we meet who is not saved disagrees with us in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all disagree really with the biblical worldview. They all disagree about their sin. They all disagree about Jesus. But it's the gospel that overcomes. Right?
Yeah.
So the point being, whether we think we have to accommodate people who, well, I want to hang on to this lifestyle. Oh, you can do that, and because Jesus is okay with that. Or, you know, some of the things we've heard, this is just another way of falling into the same thing, the same trap. It's Jesus plus.
Hmm.
Now, if you believe that tongues are operative today, okay. But if you don't believe that, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Do you agree? Listen to this. The change does not mean that Southern Baptists will commission missionaries who speak in tongues.
Wait, what?
I'm glad you said that. That's what the whole article's about. That's what I said. Wait, what? What are you talking about? I don't get it. Well, here's the response. But Wendy Norville, spokeswoman for the International Mission Board, said that an affirmative answer regarding the practice would no longer lead to automatic disqualification. Well, doesn't that mean that they'll commission missionaries who speak in tongues?
Yeah.
Then? Yeah. I love Southern Baptists. We love to obfuscate. We love to play word games. Oh, man, don't get me started. But we'll talk more about it
all
after
right.
the break.
With the exception of America's, revolutions are rarely beneficial, and this era's sexual revolution is Exhibit A in that regard. On the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street welcomes author Jennifer Roback Morse to discuss the subject of her latest book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. You'll be reminded about the consequences of bad ideas. Plan now to be here for Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hey, yo, every pizza chain claims to have the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. But Torelli's Pizza in the University Square Shopping Center, they've got the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. And they're locally owned. Check out their reviews on Yelp. A native New Yorker says, right texture and taste. Amount of sauce and cheese, perfect. So, next time you're looking for a yummy New York-style pizza, you need to go to Torelli's Pizza. Visit torellispizza.com for their daily specials.
North Greenville University and Alex McFarland invite you to hear the best assembly of Christian speakers available anywhere this year at Truth for a New Generation. It's going to be at First Baptist Spartanburg, September 18th and 19th. The theme this year is Jesus, America's Hope. Come hear the Benham Brothers, Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, Will Graham, Dell Tackett, Todd Starnes. Get your early bird ticket prices and get them today by going to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
When BNC Cleaners opened in 1959, they promised their customers quality and convenience with a friendly and knowledgeable staff without taking them to the cleaners on price. And today, BNC Cleaners is still satisfying customers, carrying through with that promise. They're in Greenville on Wade Hampton Boulevard at Church Street and at Hillcrest Cleaners in Simpsonville behind the Coach House restaurant. It's time to switch to B&C Cleaners.
Life-changing Christian teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. We're Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
Don't you love it? Can I read that statement again? Don't you love it when Southern Baptists play word games? And listen, I'm not throwing rocks. I love Al Mohler. Boy, God's raised him up. Obviously, I wouldn't agree with everything he says, but he's Southern Baptist. God's raised him up. God's used Al Mohler in an amazing way, and I could list 1,000 others in the convention that he's used in an amazing way. You with me?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the typical Southern Baptist, sometimes it's frustrating. I mean, again, listen to this statement. The change does not mean that Southern Baptists will commission missionaries who speak in tongues, but what it does mean is that those who say they speak in tongues will not be disqualified from missionary service. Is that not a total contradiction?
Yeah, those are like the same things.
Yeah. We'll see. Now we're being pragmatic in the way we want to communicate to Southern Baptists because, you know, people... A lot of people, they read, they skim over things,
mm-hmm.
and they just read that line. Oh, the change doesn't mean that we'll commission missionaries speaking in tongues. Okay, good.
Oh, good.
Good, yeah. And no offense, Wendy Norville knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't, then she's really not, well, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
I got a question.
All right, hit
me. These, obviously the missionaries who are in other countries that don't believe in tongues and don't speak in tongues, they're still going to be doing their thing and preaching their truth to the people in the countries where they serve. So all the Southern Baptist Convention is doing is just, or the mission board is just allowing other kinds of missionaries to be supported by them. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, they're saying, yeah. I mean, they're not forcing anything on anyone. They're not saying if you're a missionary, you have to believe that tongues are operative today.
Right.
They're just saying if you speak in tongues, that's not an automatic disqualification. In other words, you're a Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. You want to be a Southern Baptist missionary, and you speak in tongues, we will allow that. That's what they're saying.
Okay. Well, I mean, doesn't any missionary have the right to go out and preach what they want to preach?
Well, okay. We hope that we're preaching the gospel.
Right.
Okay. And the IMB, the International Mission Board, there's not a lot of tight control over what folk preach. In fact, it should be a lot tighter than it is mm-hmm. because there's a lot of heresy out there, and I know that for a fact. I'm not just making stuff up. However, ostensibly, they're supposed to preach the gospel and the scriptures within the confines of our understanding.
Okay.
Of the gospel and the scriptures, which is outlined by the Baptist Faith and Message.
Okay.
Which is what and they call the...
The Baptist Faith and Message does not condone speaking in tongues.
Now, you have asked me a question that I cannot answer because while I'm somewhat familiar with the Baptist Faith and Message, it's been a number of years since I've really looked at it, and I don't think that it addresses the issue of tongues. I could be wrong, but I do know that it has been Southern Baptist theological policy not to speak in tongues. And Baptists historically have been cessationist,
mm-hmm.
not continuationist, to use those big terms.
Okay.
They believe tongues have ceased. All right? So this is a change. It's a big change.
Okay.
It's a big deal. I mean, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's a change. But listen to this quote. Are you ready for this? It's not just the tongues. Southern Baptists have long prided themselves. This is from the article.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Baptists have long prided themselves as among the world's most ambitious missionaries. Even that word, prided themselves, but anyway. See, sometimes I just want to get out of the convention. You say, why don't you? Some of my Southern Baptist brothers are not going to like my answer. You ready for it?
Maybe.
It's a mission field.
Oh.
I'll leave it at that. Southern Baptists have long prided themselves as among the world's most ambitious missionaries, reaching countries and regions few dared to go. But they are increasingly finding competition from fast-growing Pentecostal Christianity, which now has an estimated 300 million followers worldwide. You know what?
Oh, so it's pragmatism.
I didn't know it was a competition.
Hmm.
I thought we were all trying to reach people for Christ. And so, let's say, okay, well, we disagree with the Pentecostals. We don't think they're preaching the truth. I'm just saying, someone said, okay, is the answer to start preaching what they preach?
No. That doesn't sound very smart to me.
No. But it's this whole idea of competition. Listen to this. In 2005, the International Mission Board created guidelines that specifically disqualified all missionary candidates who spoke in tongues.
Hmm.
For Southern Baptists, the practice, also known as glossolalia, ended after the death of Jesus' apostles. That's what Southern Baptists believe. The ban on speaking in tongues became a way to distinguish the denomination from others. These days, it can no longer afford that distinction.
Oh, we can't afford it.
Right. You know why? Because we'll lose members.
Hmm.
See?
So it's about propriety instead of gospel?
Yeah. It's about territory. It's about our numbers. Got to get the numbers up. Right?
Hmm.
See, that's why I'm frustrated. And yeah. I don't want to come across angry and ugly. I really don't. But these are the things of God we're talking about. Southern Baptists are experiencing such demographic trauma of membership and baptism, they need new constituencies among non-white population.
Now we're treating the church like like a political arena.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, let me skip down. We're going to run out of time. Okay, I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip to something else. I'm going to take a turn here, and gosh, this is going to land me in some hot water, but I'm going to try to be as gracious as I can.
More hot water than you're probably already in.
Yeah. They made some other changes. I'm not going to get into those, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. David Platt.
I like him.
I do, too. Now, for those who don't know who David Platt is, he's solid.
He wrote that book called Radical.
He did. It's kind of weak in my estimation.
I remember you telling me, I asked you, hey, how about this book by David Platt? Should I read it? And you said, oh, I didn't think it was radical enough. With a name like Radical, it really needs to be radical.
Exactly.
It just wasn't.
Was it a good book, though?
Yeah.
It was a good book.
Oh, yeah.
It was. But, he should have. The title just didn't fit. Now, as a brother pastor of mine said, well, if you look at most Southern Baptists, it did fit.
It's relative. It's a relative term.
It's a relative term, yes. But I was looking, to be challenged. You know what
but
I mean?
But you were like, oh, I've been, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like to be confronted with my sin, just like a lot of other people don't. But at the same time, I do. If I'm weak, complacent, not living for Jesus, please tell me. It might hurt, but I want to change, right?
All right, anyways, what did David Platt do?
Well, I've still got to supply the caveats.
Okay.
He's solid.
Yeah.
Tough.
We like David Platt.
We love him. Preaches the word. I mean, goodness, it's unbelievable. He's inspiring.
Yeah.
God's raised him up. I can't say enough good things about David Platt. Okay. Now, he's now... this tells you how I'm sort of over the years getting more and more loosely connected. I don't even know what you call him. I think he's the head of the International Mission Board. Well, he writes this article. This is also out of Christian Headlines. He says, for Southern Baptist Convention missionaries, the Baptist faith and message is the touchstone.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I thought Scripture was the touchstone. But we're not going to quibble. I know what he means. Anyway. Basically, he tries to say, he's commenting on this new change of policy, and he says there have been various misunderstandings communicated online and social media about these policies, and these reports have given us the opportunity to provide necessary clarifications, etc. And what he says is the driving force behind all these changes is to unify all SBC churches under the umbrella of the Baptist Faith and Message in order to send limitless missionary teams to unreached people and places for the glory of God.
Well, that sounds good.
It does sound good, doesn't it? But here's the problem. One, David Platt might not be a pragmatist, but a lot of other Southern Baptists are. So you can't just wipe all that away just because you don't consider yourself to be a pragmatist. It is what it is.
Right.
All right. Number two, I think the implication with what David Platt is saying is, okay, we want to reach people for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Agreed. So we're going to go ahead and commission missionaries, even if they speak in tongues, because, hey, they're not really going to utilize that practice in their ministries as Southern Baptist missionaries. In fact, somewhere here, and I can't find it, but I can summarize, he did say, you know, this doesn't mean that Southern Baptist missionaries are going to see tongues as normative. We're not going to preach that tongues is normative, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wrong. Why is he wrong?
Because they're going to do that?
You believe in something, it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's going to influence your ministry. It's going to influence your message. It has to. You think I could sit here on this radio and have a list of things that okay, well, yeah, I know you believe this, but you can't say, well, I wouldn't be on the radio. I'd go somewhere else. It's going to come out, right, wrong, or indifferent. And what you have is a slippery slope, and you buy into a theology here. It's connected to another piece of theology, and that's going to come out, which is connected to another piece of theology, and that's going to come out. It's just going to happen. And the truth of the matter is, not to be critical, but if you read people like Conrad Mbewe from Zambia, he lives, he's born and raised there. He will tell you all this talk about the gospel rapidly spreading across sub-Saharan Africa. There's some people being saved, but to talk about a massive movement of God, I think, is a mistake, because you've got, he's saying the whole health, wealth gospel is what's spreading across.
Right.
And people's lives are being decimated as a result of it. And what we need is the gospel. What we need is for people to come in and not worry about competition, not worry about marketing, not worry about accommodating, not worry about any of that. And I'm not talking about, you know, we contextualize in the sense that we live like the people, dress like the people, we live in the communities, we don't live in a big house on a hill like a lot of Southern Baptist missionaries do. We get out there amongst the people and we preach the gospel, because it's only the gospel that overcomes. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right.
No compromise.
No compromise.
We should put that on a t-shirt.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, the t-shirt's coming. We'll talk more about it next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.